Blog Talk Radio.
Something good.
God will declare, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? He goes on to say, I'll even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers. He said, I'll even do it in the desert. I dare you in here. Get your hands up.
PDA, I want to do a little something for those who thought we lost the edge.
I won't be down anymore. I won't be bound anymore. I won't be sad anymore. I won't be had anymore. I won't be told anymore. Yeah, been down, gotta stay on the floor. Yeah, cause the floor ain't a place for winners. Yeah, staying down ain't the thing for believers. I'ma be the one still moving. Yeah, you'll be the one fooling. Yeah, I hope you ain't wishing that and bad on me. Cause you messing with anointed pedigree. Yeah, I'ma be the one still. Yeah, you'll be the one still.
Tell him.
I'ma do it.
I'ma do it.
I'm the rain man. Praises go up, brings the rain, and blessings come down. So now I'm on them, heaven on earth. So now I be going straight to the top, elevator. Keep on sewing my window, stay open, that's favor. You hustle making money, millionaire. I tell it to come, no millionaire.
Breakthrough miracles, now you gotta tell it. Big ones falling, I think you need a helmet. Yeah, didn't quit, but you stood instead. And a blessing just bust you in the back of your head.
Featuring D-Mob Window Remix. And then right before that, you know, I had some a little bit of J-Moss, I'ma Do It. Yeah, be careful who you put your mouth on, because you never know who God is raising up to be the one that rules over you. So you better use a little humility and discernment to decide before you go and put your mouth on somebody negatively. And to start today's show off, we have God's Up to Something Good. That is Hart Ramsey featuring John P. Key. Yes, God is already up to something good. He is doing some phenomenal, most amazing, most supernatural things. You can't even explain it. You don't have the adjectives. There's not enough adjectives to describe what God is doing. It doesn't make any sense. The doctors are scratching their head. Wall Street, they just can't figure it out. You know, just stuff going on. And that's because God's glory is coming. God's glory is here. As my apostle would say, the camels are here. The camels are here. And so I'm so excited about today's Legacy Lever Midday Power. I am your host for this afternoon's experience explosion, Miss Sandra. And I'm so excited because I have one of my own, my firstborn, Miss Janae. Wow. That on October 14th, 1991, at 10:14 p.m., she was born at 7 pounds, 21 inches. See, when you love somebody, you just remember all the little details about them. And I have just seen this young lady go through some serious transitions in life. But this is what the Word of God says right here. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, And when they're old, he will not depart from it. And that's how I raised my child. That is how I raised my kids. That is what has kept me from going insane. That is what kept my children from going in and out of jail cells. And I didn't. Not one time have I ever gotten a phone call saying, come get your child, because they're so unruly. But see, if you just use the word, see, we try to trust everybody else to raise our kids. We got our kids on so much drugs, they don't even know who they are, just so we can have a moment of peace. But your peace will come through the word of God, because that's all I had. You know, I'm a single parent, so there was no husband in the home. There was no father in the home to try and set order. I had to see God supernaturally intercede through me, or come through me to raise my daughters. And he said, always put the word on them, or lay hands on them, anoint them. My kids will tell you for themselves. I prayed over them. And then I had some wonderful, wonderful family members who also looked out for them and continue to cover and keep them and help train them in the word. So shouts out to my mom, Mary Hardy, and my sister, Kim Hardy, who's listening in today. Shouts out to you. She just celebrated a birthday. I would tell you her age, but then I still love her, and I don't want to get kicked out, you know, the will. You know, I don't want to get written off the will, so I'm not going to say nothing about her age, but she just celebrated a birthday last month. So shouts out to her. And she's still enjoying her birthday. And today I have my second oldest daughter, Jasmine Collins, who turns 18 today. God is faithful. This young lady is on the honor roll academic-wise. She's just blowing up in the music as far as, like, drumline. She's drumline captain for, you know, RCHS, Rockdale County High School. And she's just doing some phenomenal things. She's got great rapport with not just the teachers but her peers. And, you know, she's celebrating her birthday, her life today. And so it's just been a great, great day for Miss Sandra, a great, great day for the prayer call, talking about having a new song in a strange land. I'm telling you, sing songs. Your answer is coming through your praise. That's for somebody. I'll claim that for myself. Your answer is in your praise. Your answer is in singing new songs unto God unrelentlessly. That means not focused on your circumstance or situation, but knowing that God has already worked it out on your behalf. I just feel the Holy Spirit say, some of you, you know, you're saying you don't think he's going to show up. But God says he's already shown up in the midst of it. He's just waiting for you to sing a song that will honor him and knowing that he's already did it. And so, again, today's topic we're talking about, forgive to live. Forgive to live. And I didn't just bring her, my daughter, on the show just because she's my daughter. Because trust me, if, you know, if I had some issues, you know, she would not be on. But I have supernaturally seen God, what he has done for my children, and I cannot explain. I tell people there are not enough adjectives to describe what he's doing in my family. And that's the first sign when you know God is delivering you and he's bringing everything to fruition, is when you see your family, your bloodline come in order, when you see curses broken. And mind you, like I said, I'm a single parent, and so I didn't have that father. I didn't have that husband to speak, you know, over them and help me. But I did have God, and I had his word. And so today's topic is forgive to live. And so I do have our special guest. She is already on cue, and she's ready to come on, you know, but there's a few things I have to do, you know, before I bring her on. She is excited. She is ready. I'm telling you, this girl, you know, I have to say, she really is my twin. You know, I have three girls, and they all have certain attributes of me in them. I just laugh sometimes when they do stuff and be like, I know you was going to do that because you just like you doll, you know. And so this one here that's coming on today, you know, many people say, you know, she looks like me. I'm trying to figure out how she looks like me. I don't understand. But yeah, you know, but she does. She, you know, she's my twin. And I just see God just moving mightily in her. And it's important for us as parents to make sure that when the Holy Spirit reveals things about your children, that you move and act upon it, because the enemy's going to try and steal that word, that rhema word that God gave to you about your children. You got to immediately begin to cover and pray what God reveals to you through his word. And so, you know, I asked God about my children, and I knew when she was a little girl, I said, God, what is it that I need to do to make sure that what you have placed in her is protected, because I know whatever you place in her is going to transform the world. And he says she has a mighty warrior praying spirit. The girl knows how to go up and do some damage in the heavenly. A to the men, she is a mighty intercessor. Not only that, but he also told me, there's going to be some other gifts that's going to transpire, and you're going to see the prophetic, and you're going to see, her go forward in preaching and stuff, so evangelism. And so, cover and protect her in those areas. And, it seems like, and I'm just going to encourage the parents, it seems like that is not going to happen. It may seem like your children are doing the very opposite of what you prayed for. It may seem like, God, what did I do wrong? Where did I go wrong at? Why is my child so far off to the left? When I've always instilled your word, I've always prayed. But I'm telling you, I'm reiterating the word again, where it says Proverbs 22:6, train up a child. Train them up, meaning it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. Raising my girls, it was a process because I had to deal with different spirits, different bloodlines, okay? So and so things that I didn't know that about their father, had to come back and show me that, okay, you need to get rid of that. You need to kill that. You need to pray on that. You need to lay hands and choke that demon right there and kick it out your house, curse it and kick it out. You need to just go. So when God says to do something concerning your children or concerning your family members or loved ones or those who you're praying for, you need to move immediately. Do not procrastinate. Do not hesitate. And I just share this moment of analogy with you where we live at. Traffic sometimes on the main road is very, very heavy, and there's no traffic light there. So you have to take your chance and time it to go out. And when I came out, I had to run back to the house to get something. I came back out to the train. When I came, there was no traffic right away, but there was a car immediately coming. But I had just enough time to make a turn. And God began to speak to me, and he said, this is how I'm coming to my people. I'm giving them a leeway. I'm giving them an avenue and an opportunity to go forward. It's a green light. But if they hesitate and procrastinate and wait to turn and double-checking and trying to make sure everything is safe and make sure everything is perfect and well in order and well planned, they're going to miss it. And so God is today is giving you a little leeway to get through, take your turn, and keep moving forward. And if I had waited and I would have missed it, I would have had to get behind some other cars and I would have been behind in traffic. But he gave me a little leeway to get through and get quickly where I have to go. So whatever God has for you that's showing up, is going to come quickly. And if you second guess him, if you sit there and be trying to ponder and trying to reason and trying to rationalize and analyze and pluck it apart, you're going to miss it, because once that opportunity is coming, it's gone. And so you're going to have to wait for another cycle to come around. And so Miss Sandra is encouraging you today to have faith in God, and knowing that he has your children covered, knowing that the word will work and not return back void. I don't care if they're sitting in the jail cell right now. I don't care if they just came out of rehab. I don't care if they just started acting up in school. You keep speaking that word of life over them. You make sure that the people that are connected to them, now, they're going to bring some folk around you that you just don't like. I'm talking to parents for a moment right now. You just don't like. Ain't they don't sit right in your spirit. You know they just a distraction. But then there's times where God said, take your hands off. I got them. And even though they're doing things that act out, that seem like they're in rebellion totally from how you raise them, what you're speaking over them, just remain patient, stay focused, and keep praying and speaking the word of God. I'm telling you what I know, and I'm telling you if he did it for my family, I know without a shadow of a doubt he'll go above and beyond to bless you and your family. So I want you to make sure you do not give up. Be not weary in well-doing. Let me tell you something. If you quit, then you've lost. If you quit, then you lost. And so continue to keep preparing. Continue to keep being persistent. Continue to have patience and know that this is a process. That's why I said train up. It's a process. Train up a child in the way he should go. Well, what is the way that he should go? The way that of the word. The way how God has said the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Know that your child's steps are ordered. If you're doing everything that God has instructed you to do according to his word, I don't care what the enemy may come up as a flood, but God has all his word is lifting up a standard that when he does supernaturally turn them around, transform their mindset to go after his will and pursue his purpose, it's going to blow your mind, because you know good doggone well it was nobody but God. I cannot take any credit for it. Nobody in my family can take credit for what God is doing in my children. It is all God, and it's because I position myself to make sure that when the seeds that I sowed then will produce a great harvest now. And it started in the bloodline. And so I always told God, you know, some things that I went through, getting pregnant and having multiple pregnancies and different fathers. And see, I'm being transparent with you because I'm not perfect. But thank God for the word that washes, regenerates, and renews. Regardless of the things that I have done and what there's some prices that I had to pay, of course there was, but I didn't give up. I did not stop studying his word. There are some processes and places that God will order your steps to that people will shun you. They will think that, you know, you're just going to be nobody. They don't think you're good enough. They don't think you're going to be, you know, you're not qualified for this and you're not qualified for that. But I did not. I've always been a person, my sister could tell you, my family could tell you, I've always been a person that went against the grain. You've never seen me going with the crowd. I always was a person that would be the one to go against the grain. And so because I went against the grain and I stood on what God's word said, was I laughed at? Of course. Was I ticked at? Of course. Was I made to feel like a black sheep? Of course. Was I rejected and dejected and talked about? Of course. But I held on to what God's word said, and God visited me himself and told me that he will not give up on me. He said, I love you. I still have a perfect plan for your life, and your ministry will be to witness to those who thought they messed up so bad that I will never forgive them. Let me tell you something. God brought me from the bottom to the top. He raised me up. He continued to minister unto me through his word. I continued to seek after him with a pure heart and a passion for him, and now I'm ministering, and now I'm being able to have a leeway to the airways to take back those seven mountains, even through the airways, through the internet, to bring word, to bring kingdom, to bring power unto you through God's word, that there is nothing that you have done that God has not forgiven you already for. The thing is to forgive yourself. And so we're going to have an exciting, exciting time. She's coming up right after this song. She said, Mom, make sure you play a little bit of that Jordan Armstrong, Stay Clean. And before I get into that, I want to make sure, and what else keeps us, you know, equipped and powerful and focused on the word is morning prayer. And I need everyone, you know, if you're not connected to anybody's prayer line, look, join New Verse Prayer Line International Prayer Call Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the numbers are 559-726-1050 or 530-881-1050, or you can log in by way of PC, Mac, however you want to do it, iPad, at www.newbirthlive.tv. We've got some exciting and amazing things coming up. We've got the gathering where thousands of people around the world will come June 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. You know, and so, you know, you just want to make sure you're connected. If you have any prayer requests, any praise reports that you would like to share, make sure you email them at morningprayer@newbirth.org. Now, see, this is not a New Birth station. This is my station, but I support my apostle. Shout out to Apostle Eddie along his beautiful wife, family, and all my New Birth sites and all those connected to us. God bless you. Thank you always for your continued support. And so I continue to support, you know, the vision of my apostle because I flow because he of him. I flow because I'm submitted unto him and I can do what I do. And so I'm excited. I see the switchboard is just lighting up, text messages going off and everything. And I'm just excited because I know that what my daughter has to bring, she has labored over it. You know, when I told her, I said, you know what, God said it's time for you to come on and tell your testimony. And she didn't say no. She wasn't scared. She knew it was her appointed time. And so I just want to, encourage you in Ecclesiastes 3, to everything is made beautiful in its time. Some time is not the right timing for our children. Trust God's timing for everything. Trust his His now for your child. Trust His now, even for your own life. It may not be the right time yet for Him to thrust you forward. And so we got to be careful as parents that we don't push our children out there before the appointed time. Everything is made beautiful in this time. And so when I asked her to come, I said, it's time for you to tell your testimony, to set the captives free. People need to hear your testimony. She was ready. She has prepared herself. She has labored before the Lord. You know, I asked her. I said, well, what are we going to talk about? I mean, you know, I need to ask some questions. She told me, this is what she told me now, the Holy Spirit and I got this. You know, folks, you know, family, when you invite family on, they just, you know, they a trip. They just want to go head on and take over. But I'm excited, and we're going to be right up. Stay tuned. Stay logged on. Hang on that switchboard. Don't you go anywhere. She will be up. Ms. Janae will be up to talk about forgive to live right after Jordan Armstrong. Stay clean.
Swagging is a hobby.
If you catch my drift,
no, it's not karate.
But they love my kicks, and it's all about the TGG. Stronger is the LP. Jesus, my OG, but the apple don't fall far from the tree. We stay fresh and never riding, always blessed and forever popping. I ask J Dog when you dropping. It don't matter, cause you know I'm copping. Keep it real, we bubbling. Who are you to be judging? Money flip Gabby Douglas. If you ain't clean, you bugging.
Every single day, people always ask me how I live this life and how I stay so clean. This is what I tell them. It ain't about my jeans. I'm rocking true religion, but I'm talking about the king. I get it from my mama. She always used to tell me, if you ain't got no money, then boy, you gotta stay clean. Like a young Obama, Martin Luther King. If you wanna be somebody, then this is what I mean. Stay clean, stay clean. I always gotta be clean. It's a dirty world. You know I gotta be clean. Stay clean, stay clean. You know just what I mean. Early Sunday morning. You know I gotta stay clean. I do, I do, I do, I do. I always gotta be clean. I do, I do, I do, I do. I always gotta be clean. Jesus be in fashion. I'm swagging on a scene. It's a dirty world. So you know I gotta be clean. I'ma keep it 300. No, I'm not Chief Keef. Riding with the good guys. Shout out to Franchise Teeth. Me and Teddy B. You know we go way back. From an old school Honda to a new Maybach. Maybach, Maybach. I make a hater lay fat. When I come through praising, I'm fresher than some Ajax. Ajax, Ajax. I'm fresher than some Ajax. When I come through praising,
baby, like,
say that. I get it from my mama. She always used to tell me, if you ain't got no money, then boy, you gotta stay clean. Like a young Obama, Martin Luther King. If you wanna be somebody, then this is what I mean. Stay clean, stay clean. I always gotta be clean. It's a dirty world, you know I gotta be clean. Stay clean, stay clean. You know just what I mean. Early Sunday morning, you know I gotta stay clean. I do, I do, I do, I do, I always gotta be clean. I do, I do, I do, I do, I always gotta be clean. Jesus be in fashion, I'm swagging on a scene. It's a dirty world, but you know I gotta be clean.
You know I gotta stay clean. Tryna live this life, no shame. I'm ballin' like Kareem, and I'm beat up, no caffeine. Never seen a young black Christian so clean.
You might wanna get up on my team, yeah. Living single regime. Oh my God, this what I got. Like Shaq Rack, I'm so hot. Wiz Khalifa, hit the reefer, chief. But the God I serve is the most high. And it's not a diss and not a hypocrite, like 2 Chainz, no lie. It's a lot of politics, but I'm an optimist, cause Jesus my alibi. That ain't no lie, I'm a good guy, shining so hard like a star in the sky. Please don't decide, no need for a ride, you can live just like this if you decide. And I'm in a VIP with a celebrity, and I think you know just why. When it gets hard to see, I don't depend on me, I just look up to my God. I do, I do, I do, I do, I always gotta be clean. I do, I do, I do, I do, I always gotta be clean. Jesus beats in fashion, I'm swagging on a scene. It's a dirty world, so you know I gotta be clean. I do, I do, I do, I do, I always gotta be clean. I do, I do, I do, I do, I always gotta be clean. Jesus beats in fashion, I'm swagging on a scene. It's a dirty world, so you know I gotta be clean. Yeah, 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 alright, yeah.
All right, welcome back to Midday Power on Legacy Lever. Again, I am your host for this afternoon, Miss Sandra. Again, that was Jordan Armstrong with Stay Clean. She wanted me to play that before she came on. See, that's what I'm saying. Family just go ahead on and try and take over G-Set. But anyway, I'm so excited. I know y'all been waiting. Y'all want to hear what she has to say. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring on our special guest, my daughter, my firstborn, my twin in the spirit, Miss Janae. Welcome to Legacy Lever Midday Power. What's up here?
All right. Y'all gonna learn today. But hello, everybody. How is everybody doing? I hope everyone is having a blessed and wonderful and fabulous day. I hope everyone is just out getting to the grind, getting to the money, getting to the kingdom. And I'm just so thankful that my mom decided me to have me on this show. I first and foremost want to give credit to God because honestly, y'all, I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't see myself being on this show. I didn't even see myself being where I am now. So, you know, I just really want to give credit to God first and just thank him so much for still giving me a chance and not giving up on me. I really want to give credit and thanks to my mother, Legacy Lever. Yes, I am her twin. Y'all think she's something else? Well, I'm a little bit more out there, a little bit more crazy. Not crazy, but even
really,
twice as crazy personality.
All worldwide, for real? Really? All on?
Yeah,
really?
All worldwide.
People have to be blasted family business like that. Anyway, go ahead.
And just want to give a shout-out to the greatest apostle, Bishop Eddie L. Long. A shout-out to New Birth. I love New Birth. I love Apostle Long. I am a New Birthite. Yes, Bishop was talking to me when he was talking about one of them saints that, you know, be quick to, you know, want to haul up and go off on somebody when they talk about New Birth. That was me. Hallelujah. And I just had to calm myself and understand that God got this, and he's going to change and make everything in his alignment and in his plan. And definitely want to shout out to the greatest young adult ministry in New Birth 7 Atlanta. All my young adults between especially ages 18 to 35, please go check out 7 Atlanta, New Birth Ministry, Young Adult Ministry. Tuesday, we have Bible study every Tuesday, 7 p.m., please go check it out. If you're looking for experience with God, if you're looking for people to connect to, come and fellowship. We have other events posted that are coming up this month. We have Feed the Homeless. We have a movie night coming. So get involved, get connected, and get planted. And we're just going to really get into the show today. I'm so glad she played my song, Stay Clean. That's my song, y'all. That's my song. And I'm so glad she played that song because I'm hyped. Today, what I'm ready to talk about, I'm hyped. I'm really on fire. This is something that was unexpected. When she asked me to get on the show, I was like, Lord. You know, I wasn't ready, but I understand that, you know, the blessing, my testimony, and the story that I have is not for me. I didn't go through this stuff for me. I went through the things that I went through all because to bless and touch other lives. And that's all I want God to do with me and use me is to bless and touch others' lives and to be a soldier and a warrior for the kingdom. That's all I want God to do, to help me to touch other lives, help me to impact and draw people to Christ, draw people to God, because I don't care what nobody says, God is so real and so evident, and there's no greater satisfaction than to be in his presence. Legacy Lever is there.
Amen. So tell our listeners how old you are right about now.
I am 21 years old. I will be 22 this year. I attend Georgia State University. I am majoring in journalism with a concentration in telecommunication and a minor in film and video. I love Georgia State. It's one of the greatest schools. I encourage anybody to go there. But yes, I am only 21 years old.
Okay, and so, you know, today's topic we're talking about, forgive to live. And I definitely want you to hit home and really, you know, be transparent for our listeners. We don't know who's listening and who will go back and listen. And for those who know people wanted to listen to the show, but maybe because they're working or at school or have other obligations and they missed the show, tell them no worries. This Legacy Lever is recorded, and you can always go back and download it for free. You can listen to it over and over again. You can share it on any social network. All they have to do is make sure they log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/legacy-lever. And go on that, and you can see all the shows listed in order by date. And so they can go back and listen to the entire show. And guess what? Tell them that it's F-R-E-E. It's free. And so we want to, you know, touch base about, you know, because, you know, you are my daughter, but there might be some things you might share today that I might not even know. We as parents, we think we know it all, but there's some things that you might have experienced that I may not even know. And so I want you to talk to our listeners, just take a moment, first off, to talk about what it was like to grow up not knowing your father and then transition from there, because I know this is, you know, like a very, you know, hit-home topic for you to talk about. But I want you to talk about growing up, because there's a lot of young people out here growing up, they don't know who their father is, never had a father in the home, or if they had a father in the home, you know, it was like not having a father there. And then talk about when you did finally meet who he was, what emotions transpired through you. So I'm going to let you go ahead on and have the mic, girl. Go ahead on. Let our listeners know.
All right. Okay. Today is focusing on forgiving to live, to basically get rid of all that gunk, that excess baggage, not walking around constipated and just frustrated and upset because of the hurt and because of the pain and the unforgiveness you have towards someone else. I just want to give a brief overview of how I grew up, and I didn't have a father. I did not have a father. I grew up without my father. My mother is as she said before, a single parent with three kids. I am the oldest. My other two sisters have their father in their life. I don't. So as a child, first off, foremost, I thought I was adopted or orphan, alien. I'm not going to lie to you. I swear to you not. I thought I was just, I did not belong, because I could not understand for the longest time why they have their fathers and I don't. It was a lot of anger I felt, a lot of bitterness, a lot of rage, a lot of hurt, because I felt like I didn't know who I was. I didn't have that father figure to validate me and who I'm supposed to be and who I am. I felt lost, and I was hurt because I felt abandoned, like he just left me, just dipped on me. And to know that my father has two other sons, he has two children, but he just didn't care to take care of me. It hurt. It hurt me to the core. And I just want to jump into basically when I was 19 years old, on Mother's Day after church, we were in, it was my aunt and my sisters, we were in Kroger, we pulled up to Kroger. And pulled up the Kroger and got out the car, and it was this man pushing this buggy. And my aunt had said, hey, you know, and I'm just thinking they're friends, or that was her coworkers or something. They was chipper, you know. And I didn't think nothing of it. And he shook my hand. He introduced, he said, hey, and he shook my hand, but he never shook my sister's hand. And I couldn't understand. I'm like, why is he shaking my hand? Like, who is this? But I didn't pay no attention to it. And it wasn't until we got inside of Kroger, and, you know, I looked back, and, you know, the man was walking off into this brand-new Mercedes-Benz. Like, I didn't even know who he was. We get in Kroger, and my aunt says, do you know who that was? And I said, no. You know, like, what was that, your coworker or something? She said, no, that was your father. And everything in me just, I mean, wanted to blow up, wanted to snap. Like, I wanted to turn Kroger out, y'all. Like, I promise you, I was going to be on the news because I wanted to lose it. Like, it was just that bitter, just that much rage and just that much bitterness and anger that was ready to rise up in me and just go off. I could not believe what was brought before my eyes. I mean, we're talking about a man that was never there in my life, never sent a text, sent a child support check, never did nothing, not a hey, how you doing, nothing, never did a thing for me in my life. And then to see him standing before me at 19 years old after all this time, and then I'm going through hell in my life, and this man is getting ready to jump into a new Mercedes-Benz, getting ready to go on about his day, coming out the grocery store all casual. It killed me to the core. It hurt. And it was like he turned around, you know, eventually and came back in the store because he couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe it either. And, you know, he asked me to pretty much step outside with him and sit in his car to talk to me. And at that moment, I couldn't do it, y'all. I couldn't. I had to get out the car. I was like, I can't do this. No, this right here, no. I'm to the point I could almost punch you in the face. That's how I felt. I could punch him in the face. How dare you? Like, I was hurt. I was hurt. I was torn. I was very, very emotional about it. I could not believe what had walked in front of my eyes. And so eventually, pretty much what ended up happening was that my aunt and him exchanged numbers, and, you know, we left. And it was also maybe after I calmed down, he could talk to me. And so eventually I did calm. I calmed down because I was like, I want to hear what he got to say. And he called me one day, and he started talking to me. And the stuff that started to unveil, y'all, I was on the other side of the phone like, what in the world? Are you serious? I live in Conyers. My family has been living in Conyers since 07. My father, when he was on the phone with me, said they've been living in Conyers since 07. His family, him and my two brothers and the lady that he's married to, been living in Conyers since 07. In the same county since 07. Told me that, you know, he had a business, he was doing new things, and had a lot of, his business was flourishing, doing a lot of new things as far as, like, with his sons and their football career, and just telling me the family that I had down here, telling me the same year I graduated, his father, which is my grandfather, passed away. I mean, just all this stuff that was unveiling. But then had a nerve to say, you know, my wife might not be too happy about us knowing each other. And it was like this sense of what that got to do with me. But he was like, I'm going to work on that. And I said, okay. And it was like he started talking to me and telling me, you know, well, I'm gonna help and work with you. I'm gonna get you a job. I'm gonna do all these different things, you know, for you. We're gonna meet up. We're gonna talk. He scheduled a meet up the first time, canceled on me. Said he was gonna give me a job. Never responded to the email. Set up another time to meet, canceled on me. It was Memorial Day week. It was sometime in May. Or I don't know when, I can't remember when it was, but I remember we was on a trip to I think it was shortly after Mother's Day or not too long after. We was on a trip to Florida. It was my mom and my sisters and myself. We're on a trip to Florida. My father had called me before. No, I called my father. I apologize. I called my father, and I told him I was going to Florida, and, you know, we can meet when we get back. He said, okay, call me when you get down here. And something just came over me like, don't call. Like, when I got to Florida, like, something just, I don't know why, just triggered and said, don't call. And I just had this sense, like, if this man really wants to be in my life, he'll call me. Ever since that time we came back from Florida, I never spoke to my father. He never reached out to call me back to find out how was your trip, to find out did you make it safely, to find out, you know, how are you doing. He never checked up on me again. Never. Ever since then. Never. And I felt this sense of rejection, this sense of just hurt and bitterness and pain, because I already had went through a whole lifetime of pain. Already, you know, I've been through so much. And then to still and get rejected by so many people, get rejected by, you know, male guys that I hooked up with, and just to have a whole sense of rejection, and then you finally have the opportunity to come in my life and make it right, and you still reject me, you still hurt me, you still say, forget this, I'm out, like, I'm not going to be in her life, like, I don't care. It hurt so bad. And after that, I was going left beforehand, I went way and left after that. I lost it. Like, I couldn't deal with it. I was torn. Because I was like, if that man is not, I had just in my mind, if that man is never going to set me, if my father can't love me, if my father can't just not, you know, take care of me as a man, what man is going to love me? What man is going to take care of me? What man is going to not reject me? And it took so much just out of me. I was hurt. I had thought, I mean, you're looking at somebody that thought about plenty of times, just ended it, suicidal thoughts, just running away, wasn't coming back, because I was so torn from the fact that my own father didn't even care enough to make it right, was already not there, already was fighting demons and going through hell. Already was a victim of molestation, a victim of near almost rape, a victim of hurt, a victim of pain, a victim of other rejection from other people, was never there to protect me, a victim of so much, a victim to see my family going through hell, and nobody was there. No, he wasn't there to take in and step in. It was already a lot of hurt and anger to see that my sisters have fathers doing for them, doing whatever they needed to do, providing for them the best way they can. But my father turned his back. My father left. My father went and took care of his sons and did not step in to take care of his daughter, his firstborn. It killed my soul. It took over who I was. It took over. It caused me to make a lot of unruly decisions. It caused me to make bad relationship decisions. It caused me to do a lot of things that I just never thought myself would do. But I went and did it because of hurt, because of unforgiveness, because of pain, because of bitterness, all because I let the power of one man for 19 years of my life, for 20 years of my life, take over, because he was never there. He was never there. And it took me, and it brought me back to, and it just pushed me to a point of just overall going just left. And I lost who I was. I had a lack of identity. And I didn't know which way to go. I was so wayward in my ways, so wandering. Like, and it wasn't just, especially these last couple of years, I just was not myself. Like, I was good one minute, but then be down the next. You know, happy one minute, but depressed and just hurt the next. all because I didn't know who I was, and I went through so much hurt and pain, and I did so much wrong out of hurt and pain, and because of the unforgiveness I had towards him, I started doing unruly things and unruly actions because of the hurt and pain and the unforgiveness and the bitter and the anger I had towards one person rejecting me, the one person I thought that would not reject me, the one person I thought that would be there for me, turned his back, was never there from the beginning. Only my mother taking care of me. Only my mother stepping in and doing what she needed to do for me. And it tore me. But I got a glimpse of reality, and I was really, God pushed me to really see who God was who God was to me for myself. He pushed me to that point from my last relationship experience. And I'm not going to even call it a relationship. I'm going to call it a mess. Because after I went through that, I ain't go back. I caught a glimpse of reality. I caught a glimpse of, I got to stop coming up with excuses. I got to stop blaming. I got to stop walking around with this unforgiveness, this bitterness in my heart. I got to stop walking around, like I said, constipated and not letting stuff out. I got to forgive so I can live for myself, so I can live and be at peace. It took God taking me through all these things, allowing things to happen to me and allowing me to go through things and to get me to that last relationship experience that just sent me over the edge to the point I didn't go back. I understood I had to forgive. And just a brief insight on that relationship was an absolute, it was horrible, y'all. I got in a relationship with Satan's cousin or Satan brother-in-law. He was related to Satan some way. He was a demon coming straight out of here. He was on assignment. I ain't lying. I'm not lying to you. After that was a horrible relationship. Matter of fact, I'll be transparent and not be real. That person that I was involved in a relationship, first of all, was 9 years older than me. He was 9 years older than me. I was only 20 at the time. No, I'm 21. I'm sorry. But he was 9 years older than me. I had just no clue of what I was getting into. I just knew he was somebody, special and just different because, you know, he knew a little bit of Jesus. Everybody else I had been with didn't know Jesus. But he knew a little bit of Jesus. He knew a little bit of God. He knew a little bit of word, so I just knew he was different. And that's a lot of times how the enemy will come in. He just will come in thinking that people know a little bit of something, and just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and have you all thinking that this is supposed to be the person that you're supposed to be with, and really they on assignment, and they to take you out, really, if they can, and if to take you out. That's really what it is. And I got in a relationship with this person, like I said, a mess with this person, and it was horrible. 9 years older than me, already had children. It was a draining relationship. I wasn't physically abused or nothing, but I was verbally abused. Called out my name, called to all kind of ways, talked to any old kind of way. But it all stemmed back from not knowing who I was, not having that man in my life to teach and show me what is acceptable and what is not acceptable and what the standard is and what not to accept and to set your standards high. I didn't have that sense. I didn't have that clarity. I didn't have nobody say that. I mean, my mom spoke that into me, but let's just be real. And let's just be honest, it's only so much. That's why there are mothers and fathers, because there's only so much a mother can do for a child, just like there's only so much, like they have different roles. And a mother can do so much, but it takes a father. It takes a mother and a father being one. That's why marriage is so important, to be in one. It takes both. It takes both. Yes, God can change and God can set free with and just use that one parent. Yes, but it really takes both parents to be able to speak life onto that child, to not go wayward. They still may go wayward, but it really takes both to really keep them guided and to keep them focused. And it takes God being in midst of both the parents. And at that time, and the way I grew up, I didn't have that. My mom was there, yes, and she knew, and she knows God. That is the anointed woman of God. And she prayed over me. She prayed her prayers. But it was a little bit harder for her because I was so stuck on not having that father in my life, so stuck on not having that man in my life, just so hurt on the fact that he rejected who I was and rejected me. And I made the stupidest decisions. I promise you, I made some dumb decisions. And like the last relationship, it was horrible. It was just a very, very bad relationship. It drained and wore me out. It was to the point like I couldn't believe what I was in. I couldn't believe what I was involved in. I couldn't believe what I had tied and connected myself to. This man was unestablished. This man had nothing going for himself. But because I saw the little good in him, and I saw little goodness in him, I just knew, oh, well, maybe he could be for me. Maybe he could be, maybe he's special. Maybe he's going to be the one that loved me because he came off a little bit different than everybody else. And it took me realizing this wasn't nothing but something straight out of hell. It was nothing. I mean, to be treated the way I was treated and understand, like, this is not love. And I'm going to speak really to my lady. Love ain't no man calling you out your name. Hello.
Okay, we're back on. We had a little tech difficulty, but okay, I got you back on live. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry. The enemy does not want me to get forth this.
Oh,
what I need to say.
Yeah, it's hitting home. And so I understand, you know, you're very passionate about, you know, I know a lot of this is really hitting home with many of us, and we're praying that, you know, it's setting people free today. But I want you to get into what are some of the things that you did that finally, like, okay, enough is enough. God, what is it that I have to do to be free? Because people need to know what steps you took to make sure you did not go back. Because a lot of us, we could say, oh, God, if you get me out of this, I won't do that. God, if you get me out of this time, you know, they always use the analogy of, you know, somebody get too drunk and they have a hangover next day, or they done had sex with the wrong person and think they got AIDS and stuff, and we go crying out to God, oh, God, if you get me out of this, or if you make sure that I don't catch AIDS, I won't do this again. But yet still they find themselves in the same situation. So I need you to hit home about what was it that, you know, you did to make sure that you did not go back. Talk about that for a few.
Hello? Yes. But as I was saying, it got so draining to the point where I got sick and tired. And a lot of times that's where you have to get to the point in your life when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You're sick and tired of feeling rejected. You're sick and tired of feeling hurt. You're sick and tired of walking around in pain. You're sick and tired. Get to the point where you're sick and tired of mess. You're sick and tired of people talking about you, throwing you down, casting judgment upon you because of what you did. Get to the point where you're sick and tired. Get to that point. And that's what I got. I got to that point where God, I was like, I'm sick and tired. It was more than just God, if you get me out of this. But it got to the point where I cried out to God. I got in that one, that quiet time with God, and I cried out and I said, God, if please can step in and get rid of all this unforgiveness, all this other baggage, all this mess out my life. It took me crying out. It took God setting his spirit in, his presence in. It took God. It really took God. And it took me getting a glimpse of reality. It took me getting to understand that God, if I don't get this together and if I don't go after you, I'm gonna end up going down a path that there's no way being able to turn and no way being able to come out of. And it took me realizing that, God, you can only sustain me. Your love can only truly satisfy me, and I can only live and truly be at peace regardless of what goes on and regardless of my circumstances if you take care and step in and fix everything. See, a lot of times people think that, oh, we can fix it. Well, if I just, you know, maybe if I do a little quick fast, or if I do this, or if I do that, or if I try and make a little chart of what I'm going to stop doing. No. You can't do it in your own strength and your own ability. You can't love in your own strength. You can't forgive in your own strength. You can't just sit up there and try and do anything in your own ability. It takes God, and it takes you making that decision. If you've been either hurt enough or you don't learn enough to change, it takes you making that decision like, God, fix this and fix it now. Fix me. Get me to the point where I can forgive. Get me to the point where I can love. Get me to the point where I realize that you are God and God alone. You are the only person that can sustain. You are only the one that can sustain me and can sustain me in this life. And that's what it took for me. It took me getting sick and tired. It took me understanding that, God, I don't care what I have to do, but I need to get to something so I can get to you and so you can truly manifest in my life the way you need to manifest. And that's what I did. I made that decision. And I began to slowly separate myself. I began to separate myself from things that I know I didn't need to be doing. I began to get in his word. Psalms 119:9 says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? It's simply by saying living according to his word. Get in his word. I don't care if you read one scripture, and if that's your one scripture, and you read that one scripture just for the week, you hold on to that one scripture that you read for the week, but get in his word. Submit to him. Cry out to him. God hears your prayers. God hears everything that you say. See, a lot of people put God in a box and think that he's man. God is not man. Take the limits off of God and understand he hears you. He hears you, and he will work through you. He will clean up all that gunk and all that pain and all that hurt and all that unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. He will clean and he will fix your heart. He will change your heart. He will do all of that if you just give it to him and understand that you can live in him and God lives in you. And you do that by you beginning to make that decision, make that choice. It just at least starts with a choice. Start with a choice. At least start with the choice that I'm going to make up in my mind that, God, I'm going to live for you. You start with that choice, and then you make that confession that he is your Lord and Savior. Make that confession. Start with a choice. Make that confession and allow God to work in you and work through you. Allow God to move and manifest in your life. See, a lot of people think that we can do it, like I said, within our own ability. Oh, I can get it right by myself. You can't get it right by yourself. You can't forgive by yourself. You can't love by yourself. You can't do nothing by yourself. It takes his spirit, and it takes you making that decision to get in God's spirit and asking God, God, fill me with your presence. Fill me with your spirit. Do whatever you got to do to get me right and to get my mind right. Because if I don't forgive, if I don't do any of the things that I know I need to do, it's going to eat me alive. It's going to tear me down. It's going to take me out. And that's what you have to do. You have to get to the point of where you truly allow God to live within you, allow God's love to settle in you so you can forgive the ones that hurt you. Like I was reading 1 John 4 and 16, and if please read 1 John 4. That really will drop, God will drop something in you. Like, just the revelation you'll catch out of that is amazing. But it says God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. And he love. And if you do not get in God's love, if you do not make that decision, like, God, I need you, and I need you heavy and set in my life now. If you don't make that decision to cry out, if you don't make that decision to take a chance with God, to take a chance with God, you can't love. And meaning that if you're walking around not loving, if you're walking around and can't love, that means you're walking around with unforgiveness. You're walking around with bitterness. You're walking around with anger. And God is like, get rid of all that, and you do that. Like, you forgive, because God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in you. God lives in you. God is so evident and so real, and you can do that if you just get in his love. Cry out to him. Ask him, God, teach me how to forgive, and God will show you that. God, teach me how to let go, to let go of the pain, to not let bitterness and rage overtake me. Because and it even says it so clearly, and also Ephesians 4, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with everyone from of malice. Be kind and passionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 said, and between 32 and between 1 John and 4, 16, that seals the deal. You got to get rid of all that bitterness, all that anger, all that rage, and that unforgiveness. Why? Simply because God forgave you. Simply because to be able to live in him and him live in you. You got to get rid of all of that. And if you don't get rid of all of that, you cannot live, and you cannot live in God, and God cannot live in you. You can't love in your own ability. Love ain't these Google tweets. Love ain't no, take me out to Applebee's. No, that ain't love. God is simply love, and you got to get in God's love. You got to understand God loves you. God still loves you. God still cares for you. All you got to do is forgive those that hurt you. Forgive yourself. Stop staying stuck on yourself, staying stuck on the past, and staying stuck on the hurt. Ask God to help me to forgive, help me to love, so I can be in you, God. And when you get in God, the peace and the satisfaction you have in him is amazing. You're listening to a living testimony. You're looking at somebody who wanted to give up, who wanted to quit, who said forget life, who was so off track, so off focus. But God showed me, Janae, you got to forgive. You got to let go. You got to stop using excuses and using excuses of who hurt you and causing more pain, because that's what people don't understand. A lot of times when you keep giving excuses for why you ain't forgive, all you doing is opening up doors and wounds for more pain to come in your life. And God is saying, forgive, forgive, and let go, so that way you can get to where he is, so he can sustain you with his love, his peace, and his satisfaction, so you can understand that God is so real, God is so evident, and that you will be able to love and love thoroughly and love those that hurt you. Yes, my father wasn't there. Yes, my father still live in the same town as me. But if that man, if I saw him today, I'll speak to him. I would hug him. Why? Because I forgave. And how did I forgive? It was God that took me. I cried out to God. God taught me. God showed me. I got to that point where I was sick and tired and said, God, if you don't handle it, if you don't take care of me, if you don't fix my heart, if you don't structure my heart to forgive, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't make it on my own. And that's what I'm saying. Get to the point where you allow God to fix what's in your heart and to forgive, so you can live in him, so you can love. There's no greater satisfaction than to live in God. I'm telling you, and to live for God and to make this thing a lifestyle. And it's not going to be easy, but to be able to have that peace. I am a person. I am not in no drama no more. I'm a person who's healthy. I don't have no children right now, and I should have been pregnant with probably 2 or 3 kids, but God saved me. God loved me because he chose me and said, all you got to do is forgive and move past all that stuff. Move past it. Forgive it. Move it out of the way, and if you do that, all the things, seek me and seek me diligently. I promise you, I'll take care of the rest. Why? Because my son, he sent his son to die for our sins already. So all that, you know, addiction to pornography, addiction to sex, all that that hurt that someone did to you, or that hurt that you did to someone else, or the sins that you did, whatever it is, all of that, God forgave all that. And all he's saying is you forgive them and you forgive yourself and move past it so you can live for me and live, and I live in you. And the way you do that is by his love. Let God love on God. And you do that by living in that word. You do that by worshiping. You get in. I don't care what you do. Get. I don't care if it's in the car, the shower, the kitchen, wherever you got to be. Worship. Just thank God. Get in God's presence. Do whatever you got to do to get with God. And I promise you, he'll show up in your life. He'll manifest in your life. He will do all the things that you want. That you want to do, then, that you've been like wanting to be set free from. God can set you free so you can live and live again. So many of us are walking around dead, but we're alive in person, but we really dead. We really dead, and God is just saying, oh, I want you to do this. Forgive and move past. Stop beating yourself up. I'm especially talking to my lady. Stop beating yourself up when you didn't make that right decision. When you sat up there and had multiple abortions. When you sat up there and you ended up having kids out of wedlock. Move past all that. Forgive. Forgive those that did you wrong. Forgive yourself for doing it, and move past it and understand God got a plan for your life. If you just get to God and if you forgive, God still has a plan for you. He still has a plan. If he's having a plan for me, I know he got a plan for you. He saved me, so I know he can save you. He can do it all. There's no greater satisfaction than to be in God's presence. If you got to get to God, and you got to make up in your mind, God, I got to forgive. And I'm going to move past all this stuff that you want me to move past. I'm going to let it go. Is it going to be easy? No. It's a process. But if you make the decision to do it, and if you promise, and if you stick with it, if you make that vow, God will take care of everything else. He will take care of everything else. He will sustain. God can keep you, and you can live for God and live freely and be free in God. That is possible. I don't care what no man say. I don't care what people say. I don't care how many stones you got thrown at you. I don't care where you've been. I don't care if you got that test back when you were in the doctor's office that you had chlamydia. I don't care if you was in that, you got the report back that you had HIV. I don't care what people said about you. If you wasn't going to make it, you ain't going to be nothing because you've been in and out of the system. You was locked up. That crime you committed, you was selling drugs. I don't care what people say about you, but all you got to do is forgive those that do do it and do hurt you, and forgive yourself, and so you can move past all that and live in God and God alone, and God will sustain you. I don't care what man says. I don't care what people say, but God can set you free. God can change your mind, change your whole perspective and outlook on things and how you see things. God can do all of that. God can fix you. God can change you. God can move you. It is the reason now why I'm able. God is the reason now why I'm able to love. We're able to be free, able to move in him how he wants me to move. And once you allow God to truly set in you and really start loving in you, you get connected. You get connected with people that's born where you're going or where you're trying to go. You start getting connected with people. And that's what I mean by separating yourself. Start getting connected so you can start walking out of that bondage, so you can start walking out of that unforgiveness. That you walk out of your past. Matter of fact, some of y'all just run. That's what I did. I had to run. Run up out of there. Get connected to people that understand, that might have been through what you've been through and can be a living testimony. Get connected. Get connected. Get to and get and under, get you to under, and let His love live in you, and then get connected to a church, get connected so you can have that support to stay strong, have that encouraging word to keep moving forward and to not grow weary and to not let your past hold you back or to let people hold you back. And when you do that, once you get connected, you start treating and taking care of yourself. You start coming out your own shell and your own box. That's what I had to do. I had to sit up there and learn that after once I forgave and once I got to God and really allowed God to start settling my life and I got connected, God showed me, start treating and taking care of yourself. You hold your head up high. You put your wig, your weave. I don't care what you got to do. Put you some new heels on. You do whatever to do to build that confidence back up. Build that strength back up because God finds you valuable still. God still cherishes each and every one of our lives. Males, you go get you a haircut. Put you on a suit. Do whatever you got to do and understand God still has a plan for you, and that's what you do. That's what you do. You forgive and you move past it, and then you allow God to settle in your life, and you get connected with folk that's born where you're going, that see, and that can push you into your, that can help push you to where you need to be, and then you take care of yourself. You forget what others say. You get move past what people done put about you and said about you, and you sustain and treat yourself. You treat yourself. You take care of yourself. You look out for and make sure you're coming out of that shell. And once you come out of that shell, once you really begin, you'll begin to see that, God, I still am beautiful. God, I still am nice looking. I still am handsome. God, you still have something for me. That's what you have to do. You have to let go. You have to move past all that nonsense, all that mess. I don't care what anybody say about you. I don't care if you're a person that slept with 20 people or you slept with 2 people. You forgive. You forgive yourself. Stop staying stuck on yourself. Stop giving excuses to yourself. Stop letting the enemy come in. Cut the enemy head off. Decapitate him. Decapitate him and every demon running up behind him and every gremlin behind him too. Kill all of that. Kill it. Kill it. Stop coming up with excuses. Stop blaming everybody for why you are where you are. Forgive and move past that. Get to where God is. Get to where God wants you to be. And once you get there, you get connected and you make sure you got people supporting you on your team. You leave those that's not trying to go where you are going behind. And then when you do that, you treat yourself. You take care of yourself. You stand and look in the mirror like, I'm still beautiful. I am still strong. I'm still here. God, you must have a plan for my life. You must have something for me because you could have took me out a long time ago. And when you do all of that, but the number one four thing that I forgot to really say, you look at God as your father. You look at God, start calling God your daddy. Start calling God, especially to my young women on the phone that grew up without a father. Start calling that, calling your God your father, calling him daddy, call him look. Start talking to him like a daughter would talk to the father. Start. And I promise you, when you do that, you just, I don't care if you're in the room and it's just 4 walls. You start talking, I bet you God will tune in and listen to you. He listen to me all the time, and I do it all the time. Just be talking, and I know God hear me. You, that's what you do. You forgive and move past. You start looking at God as the Father, as God as the Creator. Stop putting him in this box and living and limiting to who he is. He is not a man. Man will not forgive. Man will stay stuck. Man will sit up there and keep reminding you of the of what you've done, like they can't hold the mirror up to themselves. That's what man do, but God don't do that. God moves past that. God, because he sent his son to die for all that, and because he did that, you move forward. You raise your head up, and you keep going, and you get connected. But you sit up there, and you take care of what you need to take care of, and you get out there and grind and allow God to to bring your dreams back, to bring your love back, to bring that peace that you need. God is so real, but it starts with a decision and crying out to him. You just talk. That's all prayer is. You ain't got to eat shot by my toe touch. Just talk to God. Just talk. talk to God. And I promise you, God ain't going to be no big man that come out the sky. But I promise you, if you're just talking to myself and talking to yourself and talking to God, God, I promise you, he will do whatever he got to do. He will use people to come send to you just what you were talking to him out in the open about. It's been so many times I have got it. I promise you, I've talked about stuff, and I just be talking to myself, and I just be talking to God. And next thing you know, God will come back and bring it to me like, Derek, I was just talking to you about that. Bob, God is so real and so evident, and he can keep you. And all you got to do is, forgive. Forgive and get in alignment with God and understand God will bless you. Am I where I am, where I want to be? No, but God keep me. And I just want to share a brief little, another little testimony. We were supposed to give $20 to Bishop. Hold on, I said that wrong. We were supposed to put money in Apostle's long hand. I was supposed to do that. We were supposed to do that. And I was down to my last. And God was like, I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt God really said, put 20. And I was like, hold on, God. You know I ain't got it like that. You get this $5 or $10, but 20, I don't know. That's pushing it. But he said, do it. I felt, and I'm telling you, God is so real because when he will keep reminding you and pressing it on your heart and you can't shake that feeling. And I put $20 in his hand. I put $20 in that man's hand in that service, and I felt a release. I did. And that same night, I promise you, a little boy, no bigger than, I don't know, he wasn't that big. He was no older than probably 10 or 11, but his name was Robert. Put $20 back in my hand. And I broke down and I wept because I realized all I got to do is trust God and live for God, and God going to take care of the rest. That's all you have to do. Just move past your past. Move forward from your past. Move past all that. Get to where God is. Get in God and understand he will take care of the rest. You don't have to stay stuck on your past. You don't have to stay stuck on what you did. You don't even have to let nobody remind you of what you did. Matter of fact, if they got so much to say, you know, I can help you talk about me too. That's what you do. You don't have to do nothing and listen to what nobody says. You keep moving forward because God will take care of the rest. You get to God and you take care of the Father business. He will handle your business. He will perfect you. He will bless you. He will take care of you. But all you got to do is start. It starts by with forgiving, moving past your past, moving past your setbacks, moving past the things that people have said about you. I don't care if people told you you can't make it. I don't care if people told you you were dumb, you were stupid, you ain't nothing. I don't care if a man called you out of that or if a woman called you out your name. I don't care what it was, but move past all the hurt, move past the pain, forgive, let go. And when you do all that, I promise you, the presence of God, the peace of God, God's spirit in you and that will surround you will be amazing. I'm still fighting battles, but I get up and I keep every morning running that race. I get up and I keep fighting and I fight back and I'm cutting the head of the enemy off every day because I'm like, God, you have got me to a point where there's no greater satisfaction and that you can save me. I'm still valuable to you. After all the hell and after many times I turned my back on you and you really should have just slapped me right on in the hell, you still had a plan for my life. You still took care of me. And if you are walking and breathing and living today, make that decision to move past and get to where God is so you can live and live freely before it's too late. Get to where God is, because if he can save me, and that was just only a segment of what I told you, if he can save me, he can save others, he can save you. Move past your past. Don't keep walking around constipated. Don't keep walking around with all this gunk and mess. You move past that and you cry out to God. You do whatever you got to do. And And when you get in God and when you get in his spirit, it's still not going to be easy. It's still going to be some time. But you don't beat yourself up when you make those mistakes. You don't let nobody remind you of your past. If you're already on this walk with Christ, don't let nobody remind you and take you back to where you came from. Don't let nobody remind you of that and take you back and set you back. You keep moving forward in the name. You keep moving forward. So many people still be like, compare me to the old Janae. Compare me to the person I used to be. Or you used to be that same person that was getting it in the club. You used to be the same person that used to be drinking. They used to be doing all this stuff. But I don't even pay no attention to that because I moved past all that. I forgave and I let go and I got rid of all that excess baggage and I got to where God is. I cried out to where God is. And now I'm at a point where it doesn't matter what you say about me. Matter of fact, I'll have you talk about me. Matter of fact, yeah, I can tell you myself what I did. I can tell you myself what I came through. I can tell you myself the decisions I made. I can tell you myself the wrongdoings I did. I can tell you all that myself. But it took God. And it doesn't matter what somebody else said, but you get to God. You get to God, even if you're somebody. I bless and I thank God every day that I had a mother that took care of me, that had a mother that stepped up to the plate and did the mother and father role. But some of you guys are not blessed with either. Some of you still lost without, you still don't have a mother or a father. But I want to say there's still hope for you too. You still got something. God still has a plan for your life. All you got to do is cry out to God. All you got to do is let go, move past all that, and get connected and understand that, God, you got something valuable for me too. You still find me valuable. You still find me, you cherish my life. You cherish my life, and that's what I say to you. All you got to do is get to God. That's all you got to do. And you cry out. You do whatever you got to do to get to God, and you move past all that. You move past all that pain, that past all that hurt.
Miss Janae, wow, woo, wow. You heard what she said? Get to God. He still has a perfect plan for your life, but I'm just going to take a moment because you just really were so transparent with everything, and I believe this is just like an appropriate moment to play this song because we're going to come back. So no one go anywhere. I'm going to bring her back because I just want her to have her final words before the show is over. I don't even want to call it a show and it's experience. I didn't know what exactly she was going to talk about, but I'm telling you, don't sleep on this 21-year-old who just, you know, I pray she helped to draw you closer to God's love. So we're just going to be right back after this song. It's Isaac Curry. I love this song, Clean This House. I want you to listen to the words of this song and how it lines up exactly with what she was talking about. There's nothing that you have done that God hasn't already forgiven you for, but it's time to forgive yourself and move forward. So we'll be right back. Sit back. We'll be right back with some more of Miss Janae. Forgive to Live. Again, this is Isaac Curry, Clean This House.
Oh, yeah, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me over and over again, yeah. I'm calling on you, Heavenly Father. I'm down on my knees. Say, call on you no matter the hour. Up, done lost my house, done lost my job. Why walking out? These church folks say they my friends, but I'm all they talk about. I've been doing wrong, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your Son will wash me. From the inside. nights I've been doing that, and I had no business doing it. No church or no Bible study ain't been in my word. Now I know better than this, can't live my life in sin. We confess to Him, He'll remove all wickedness. The blood from your Son will wash me from my sins. Clean this house, yeah, from the inside out. I need you to restore me. Take away my
that hard, but it's always such a blessing to see your children take it to a whole nother level, even more so than you, and that's what leaving a legacy is all about. That's why it's called Legacy Leaver. Again, our special guest was Miss Janae, Forgive to Live, and some of the things that she talked about, I knew some things, but I didn't know all of everything, and I just pray and I just thank God that she's to a point she can talk about it freely so that she can help set other captives free. And so that's why I did play Isaac Curry, Clean This House, because there is nothing that you have done that God has not already forgiven you for. And she also talked about the fact that once she, you know, God forgave her, it was important that she forgave herself, and she moved past that. She kept talking about the fact you must move past what happened. You must stop making excuses, and you must stop blaming others for what's going on and take responsibility, and then do that by getting in the Word and getting in the presence of God. And so I'm getting ready to bring our special guest right on back on to close us out, and we're going to talk a little bit about you know, what are some of the things that she's doing now to make sure that, you know, she continues to move forward and strong. I want, you know, now her life is like a testimony. God took all of that mess and turned it into an awesome testimony. So I just want her, for the last, you know, winding down to the little bit of the show, or experience, I don't like to say show. First, let's tell your listeners how they can connect with you, Miss Janae.
Well, you definitely can connect with me through Twitter. That is underscore God's Beauty. You can definitely connect with me that way. I will reopen up my Facebook very soon. I had closed it down, so but eventually I will reopen that, and you can find me on at Janae Hardy, J-A-N-E-E, not J-A-N-A-Y, but J-A-N-E-E, Hardy, H-A-R-D-Y, and you can find me on Facebook once very soon, but definitely on Twitter at God's Beauty, underscore God's Beauty.
Awesome. And so what are some of the things that you are planning to do once you graduate, or as you're getting ready to graduate college? Let our listeners know, what are some of the things that you, I know you said you're a journalism major in film and production. What are you planning to do with all that?
Honestly, I'm going to keep it short. I plan to be a movement. God is really, you know, placed in me to be a movement, to be a movement for his kingdom in everything that I do. So within me majoring in journalism, within me, and after I go to school and I graduate, it's a movement. You know, I'm looking to, you know, radio shows, my own television program that represents kingdom, represents everything that God has placed in me to get to others. Definitely, I get it prophesied to me all the time and get called all the time an evangelist. So definitely will be walking in the evangelist and the anointing of that, and definitely hopeful and just expecting, you know, a lot of new things. And looking forward to definitely reach out to young children, reach out to especially young girls, programs for young girls, programs for girls especially who want to dance, who want to sing, who want to act and never had the chance to do it because they didn't have the finances, their family couldn't afford it. So that's definitely what I'm looking to do, just looking to be now and even after I graduate, a movement.
Awesome. And so, okay, so you want to leave our listeners with one final thought. What is the final thought that you would like to leave to our listeners?
I pretty much just want to leave to everybody that to just forgive, to live, I can't stress it enough, to have freedom in God and to know that he still cherishes you and he finds valuable to you, a value to you, and that if he can save me, he can save you also. And just to know it starts with a decision and make that confession. You know, if you haven't confessed that God is your Savior, make that confession and move forward and move past and just know it's not over, it's not finished. God still has something good for you and a plan for your life. And that you don't give up, and you keep fighting, and you keep going forward.
Amen. So, y'all see, I'm very proud of this young lady. Yes, she's my daughter, but I'm proud of her as a God's daughter. I'm very proud of who God has called her to be and in his divine timing. And again, parents, sometimes we get worried. We sit here, we stress out. And even though we say, okay, God, I'm leaving it to you and you handle this, you know, in the back of our mind, you're like, God, if you don't move fast enough, I'm footing to snatch her. You know, I'm footing to jet set. Okay, I'm footing to go and cut up something if you don't hurry up and move fast enough. And so that was my test during this whole process, was learning how to stand out of the way
and continue to pray in my private time and in my closet. Like, God, you do see what's going on, but at that same time, he had me to make sure that I cover and pray for other people, other people's daughters and sons and marriages. And while I was doing that and volunteering and serving and loving on other people, God was making sure he took care of my family. And so I cannot praise and thank God enough. Again, she also was part of the international prayer call that happens Monday through Friday, and God has just been transforming, doing some great things through her on that. And so even our entire family is connected to the prayer call and doing the things of the kingdom. And it's not because, you know, of me. It's because God supernaturally did some things in my family I cannot explain. All we can do is demonstrate before you and tell you and show you, actually, what's going on. And so you heard this young lady. Again, she's only 21. She's about to graduate from Georgia State University in a little while. And so she already proclaimed out of her mouth that she is a movement. So y'all make sure y'all keep your eyes and ears open for some upcoming things, what she's going to be doing. I truly believe God is getting ready to move immediately. I don't think he's going to wait till she graduates. I think it's already started, and you will see the manifestation of it. Thank you so much for tuning in today, logging in today, just staying on the switchboard. I do have maybe like a few minutes. If anyone wants to do a shout-out, either you can hit her up on Twitter. If you press 1 right quick, I can take a little call if you want to say, you know, something to Ms. Janae while you're on the line. You might be kind of shy and don't want to say anything. But we're getting ready to close out this experience, this explosion. She loves this song by Anthony Brown, Testimony. And it's like I said before, you know, when you invite family on, you know, sometimes you just got to go, you know, sit on in the corner because they're going to take over. It was a Janae takeover. The spirit of our apostle long just came on up in her, and she didn't come to take sides, but she came to take over. So I'm just, again, very proud of her, very proud of what God is doing with this movement already. God bless everyone. Ms. Janae, would you like to say thanks to the listeners and you know, give them a little wave bye-bye and all that stuff?
I just want to thank everybody. Thank you for listening. I can't help when God flow. And if you thought that was too long, I'm flowing with God.
It wasn't too long. It was right on point, and it was awesome. It was awesome,
all
and
right.
It had to be said, and it needed to be heard. So, no, you were awesome. You did what God instructed you to do, and you definitely represented in the Holy Spirit, and that's enough to be said. And so I will be back probably next week, because Ms. Rogers is actually traveling out of town next week to Michigan. God is opening up some doors for me to do a TV interview or to be interviewed by way of television in Michigan. Something new, something strange, and it's all God. So God bless you. We're going to end today's experience with Anthony Brown, Testimony. God bless you.
To everyone.
Everyone who made it.
Yeah.
Any test or trial.
Hopeless situation.
Hopeless situation. Now you have a story.
The angels can't sing.
You can't sing in glory.
You're redeemed.
You're redeemed from the hands of the enemy.
Yeah. Here we go.
Whether it's in the courtroom, fighting in the boardroom, trying to feed your family, or kicked out underneath you,
God's able.
God is more than able. He can turn the table.
Turn and tell.
Turn and tell your neighbor. Now you come back.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness?
Just be one more.
Be one more witness.
Take our sin. they called your family. They cried out. Because you knew.
You deep down inside that you knew.
Now let's fast forward.